Good morning. Yeah, we trust and pray everybody is doing well. It's a little bit damp this morning, but it's so good to have the opportunity to see each and every one of you here in the Lord's house to worship Him today in spirit and in truth. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin this morning. Our Father, we want to come to You and we thank You so much for another opportunity to be able to gather in Your name, Lord, to be family, to be a part of Lord, the thing that is so important to us, the opportunity to be able to fellowship and to do life together as your children. So, Lord, again, we ask that you would just protect us and keep us safe as we do that. We thank you for those that will be joining us today through many venues. Lord, those in our parking lot, those that are in our multi-purpose building, those in the sanctuary, and, Lord, those that are going to be viewing online. We just ask that you would bless their family. Lord, we pray you'd give them an extra special portion of your grace for having been in attendance around your word to honor and to glorify you. So, Lord, help us to prepare our hearts and minds to meet you here in this place today. Lord, we know that you will speak to us. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let me see if I can hear you this morning. Good morning. Yeah, that's a good morning. What a pleasant opportunity to be able to gather in the Lord's house today. As we do so, one of the things that we're heading into is that time. It's hard to believe it's November the 1st, isn't it? Today is the 1st of November. 2020 is almost over, and some of y'all are saying, hallelujah. Hopefully 2021 will bring something a little bit different along the way to us. But as we continue on with 2020, we head into the time where we have the privilege to be able to work on the project of Operation Christmas Child. I know Miss Bev mentioned to you last week that we're not only doing the project, but we're also a regional drop-off center, and we're going to have more that we'll let you know about that upcoming. Now, here in the next couple of weeks, we're actually going to be having what we call our in-gatherings, where you take the opportunity. We ask you that as you pack the box, when you bring it with you, we'll have a time when we will ask you to bring your box forward. We'll have you put them down here at the front and ask you to say a prayer over that box for the child that will receive it, that it would be used as a tool by our Lord and Savior in the proper hands, that folks, the child that gets this box not only would receive a gift, but also would receive the most important gift, the gift of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So we want you to pray for that child, even as you begin to construct that box. If you need boxes, we have some over here in our multi-purpose building. We also have some over in the sanctuary area and some outside of our office area. We want to encourage you to pick those up, and there's some instructions with a little pamphlet there that tells you things not to put in it and things that would be a good idea to include in the boxes. So please consider that, prayerfully consider that as we enter this time to be a part of something that I know God can use in a great and a mighty way. Once again, we've got a little video we want to show you that expresses a little bit more about the ministry of Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child, and then our quintet's going to lead us again as we worship.
We're here in the middle of Puerto Santa Ana in Ecuador, close to the Amazon. Kids are receiving the shoebox for the very first time in their lives. Gracias por empacar las cajitas de regalo. Gracias por orar por estos niños.
When I was 10 years old, I received an Operation Christmas Child shoebox in my hometown, Ambato, Ecuador. I remember my favorite thing in that box. It was like this black jacket, super cool, that I was wearing until I turned 16, I think. I understand when I received the shoebox that God was taking care of me in a particular way. He was putting His eyes on me. When I understood that, I just felt that I needed to give something back. So after I received my shoebox, I decided that I want to do something, but I was not a preacher back those days. I was 10. So the easy way was become a clown. So I was a clown. I used to do a lot of puppets and those kind of stuff, trying to just share the gospel with the shoeboxes and all those things. When you understand that God could call anyone, but He decided to call you, it makes me feel like I need to do my greatest and just put all my energy as the people that were part of the party that I was in when I was 10. I want to be the same thing now. I want to give all my energy, because you never know who around all of those children are becoming pastors, are becoming servants. We're not just giving gifts to the children. we are opening doors for them to understand that God has an entire life for them. God has a plan with every single children that is receiving this shoebox. Today, I have the privilege to be the senior pastor in the Hechos 29 Church in Ambato, Ecuador. This simple shoebox gave me the chance to see my great father loves for me. And now that's the reason that all Sunday mornings, I'm so excited to go to the church and share the gospel and preach. It gave me the chance to see that there are many people just like me that are in need, maybe just of a hug or just to hear that Jesus loves them. And now I'm able to do that because someone just heard God's voice and put a black jacket on my shoebox. Man, it's just so crazy that people are just so willing to give something from themselves. But that is God. It's God working through people for other people. And for the ones that are packing shoeboxes, man, thank you very much. You are doing a huge, huge work just hearing God's voice.
And that poses a very important and special question to each and every one of us. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb. I pray that you can truly answer that in the affirmative today, knowing that if we close our eyes on this earth, or if the Lord calls us out, that we're going to have that opportunity to spend all of eternity with Him. If you have your Bible this morning, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Luke's Gospel in chapter 17. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. We're so glad to have our viewing audience that will be watching with us, some live this morning, some will be watching this by way of replay today. We want you to feel just as a part of our family as if you were here. So we want you to know that we have Dr. Gant, who is interacting with our online community. Be sure to say hello. Be sure to let us know that you're out there. Yeah, it's like the old days of shaking hands, which we don't do that around here. We might bump a fist or something, but because of this virus. But if you're a part of our online community, you can fellowship as well. You can say hello to those that are there. You can say hello to Dr. Gant. If you have any questions or anything that you might want to ask, feel free to do that. He is monitoring the online community during our message, as well as we follow that even through the week as people watch that on replay. So if you have some questions, and another thing, let us know where you're joining us from. We want you to be just as much a part of our church as if you were sitting right here. We love you, and we certainly do appreciate you. When we look at today, I said it a moment ago. I said it's just so hard to believe that it is November the 1st, and time seems to be just moving on. But there's some other things that we can gather about November the 1st, or at least where we are. We don't have any trouble now looking outside in our yard and realizing that summer is passing us by. Now, the other day, it was nice and warm. It almost felt like summer. But I would believe if I went and asked each and every one of you and said, what do you think? Do you think we're in summer? Do you think we're, you know, in fall? Or what do you think most people would say if I asked that question? They would say that we have turned the corner. It's starting to be fall of the year. Now, what are evidences of that as we think about it today? If I ask you that question and you said, well, it's fall, I might say to you, well, why do you say that it's fall? What would your answer be? Now, I can tell you some of the upfront ones. You would probably look at me like I had three heads and say, well, A, I'm freezing. How many of y'all have turned the heat on already at your house? Hallelujah. There are my people who want to stay warm. You've already turned the heat on. Now, how many of you all have that game that you play with your family? It's how many blankets and how much you can freeze before you switch over to heat. Yeah, there we go. We've got a few of those as well. It's just, I don't know, it's just something about letting go of summertime that we just don't want to do until we just get to where we're too cold, and then we flip the heat on and give that a shot. But that's a sign that the season is changing. Another good sign is if your yard looks like mine, it doesn't look like there's grass there anymore because it's full of leaves. Amen? Yeah. Another really good sign. See, that doesn't happen in June and July. That happens when the season starts to change. So these are signs and these are evidences of change that is happening around us. Now, we don't have any trouble whatsoever saying, well, I'll tell you, fall is on us. Fall is here. Why is it that we don't have any trouble with that? Because we can see the evidences of fall being in our presence. We can see it coming on. And the Lord made some very interesting statements in His Word as He talked to the Pharisees. And some of the things that He told them is He said, you need to watch the signs. You need to look at the signs of the time. The signs being what He said would happen at the time that He would return, or the time that the rapture would take place, the time that He would call us out to be with Him. Some of the great big signs, as I call them, have already taken place. One of those is that Israel was a nation again, and that's been quite some time now. That had to be fulfilled as a sign of the time. The signs of the nations, as the Lord has mentioned it, are lining up. And so surely the time is drawing near. The question is, and you've been hearing this from me particularly over the past several weeks, are we ready? Are we ready? I think at times we can be so enthralled with what's taking place and what's going on. We may even be at an event, but we're busy fellowshipping and doing all kinds of other things, and the event starts taking us by surprise. Have you ever had that happen? Maybe you've been somewhere, been to a show, there's been even an intermission, and you're out there fellowshipping with somebody, and the next thing you know, you see that the show has already started and you've missed some of it, and you hurry-scurry to get in there to be a part of it because it took you by surprise. Folks, I don't want the Lord's calling us out to be with Him to take any of us by surprise, and the Father gives us a warning today. Look with me at Luke chapter 17. And go down to verse 26. I want to take a few of these verses, but particularly I want to start with verses 26 and 27. Luke 17, 26 says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. Think about that for a moment. Now, many people would sit back and say, well, what were things like in the days of Noah? We're gonna cover that in just a moment. But he's giving you a sign. He's saying when this starts to happen, if I were to translate that into something that we understand today, it would be like me telling you, when the leaves begin to change color on the trees, fall is upon us. And many of you would go, no. Yeah, boy, you were an A-plus science student on that one. Well, that's one of the signs. But the Lord is telling us, do not miss the signs of the nearing of His return. Now, verse 27 says this. It begins to tell us about what things were like in the days of Noah. What was society, how was it functioning? What was taking place? Verse 27 says this. It says, they ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now, there are a few things that we need to know. They call this the, and I don't even know if I say it right, it's one of those school terms, but Noahic ages, the Noahic age, meaning the age of Noah, the things that were going on, the things that were taking place. The Noahic age was an age where there was just a ton of essential material advances. There was material wealth, as you call it. Now, when I'm talking about wealth, I'm not talking about wealth like you and I know it. Wealth in that day was completely different. But there was material abundance as well as spiritual poverty. If you remember, and I want you to go over, write this down if you're taking notes. If you're not, write it down anyway. Genesis chapter 6, because that is kind of dealing with the situations of Noah. I may point out a verse or two there, but I want to encourage you that sometime today to go back and read that, because God saw what was taking place with the people in the day and in the age of Noah. And if you remember what he says, it said that it grieved God that He even made man. Think about that for a moment. You know, why was it that God decided that he was just going to kind of wipe mankind out and start all over again? Yeah, because he didn't. What he saw was people who were so far off track. He saw that they had these material possessions, but their spirituality had gone down the tubes. Folks, if you look at that and you lay that down and you compare it to our day and age, we have a lot of people who profess to be spiritual, but professing to be spiritual and being spiritual are two completely different things. What somebody says and what somebody does and the way they act are two completely different things. Now, we also are living in a day and age where people don't want to have anything to do with anything of God. We've shoved him out of the schools. We've shoved him out of the hospitals. We've shoved him out of health care. And in a lot of cases, he's even been shoved out of the church under the auspice of, hey, this is what we are. We're spiritual people. Listen, spiritual people are the ones that follow God's word and God's will for their lives. They're the ones that follow what the Bible tells us is true and what is right. Now, even in today's day and age, I know that in the next couple of days, there's a great event that's going to be happening in our society. There is so much uncertainty right now around the elections, around what is at stake. There's fear. There's so many questions about what's taking place with the coronavirus and what the future looks like. There are probably more questions today than there have ever been. Let me put it to you this way. I believe with all of my heart that those are the signs of the times, just like it was in the days of Noah. And God said that it grieved him that he had even created man. Now, you had Noah. You had his family. We've said this before. Noah, went out and he preached for 120 years, and the only people that heard his message was family. That, yeah, and I don't know whether they just felt sorry for him. I don't know what the reason for it was. But you remember what it must have looked like for Noah as God commanded him to build this massive ship. Yeah, they hadn't even seen rain at that particular point. There were a lot of great things that were going on. And they look at this and they're like, what is this guy doing? This guy's an idiot. This guy's a fool. And I'm sure they probably laughed at him and poked fun. But here was what Noah was doing. Noah was getting ready. He was being obedient to God, but he was getting ready for what was coming. Now, folks, I'm here to tell you today, to give you a warning that God is telling us that we need to get ready for what's coming. Now, some people may say, what's coming? What's coming? Let me tell you what's coming. The trumpet is going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise. The rest of us who know him are going to be caught up together to meet him in the air. God's patience is running out. God's endurance with man, his long suffering is running out. And there is coming a time, there is coming a day, and it is in the very near future when time as you know it is going to be completely different. If you think March of 2020 brought about rapid change, you ain't seen nothing yet. If you think about the fact that your life got turned upside down, you ain't seen nothing yet. Now, for a believer, that's a great thing. Yeah, for a believer, we're sitting there going, come now, Lord Jesus. You can't come fast enough in the midst of all the havoc and mayhem. Blow the trumpet and call us out here. Word tells us that there are many of the saints who sit back and say, well, Lord, what are you waiting on? And what is he waiting on? He's waiting on as many as possible to receive him, as many as possible to know him. He is waiting on you and I to profess the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that others may have a chance to come and know him. That age was an age of material abundance and yet at the same time spiritual poverty. The Noahic age was also an age of immorality. Now, when you look at that particular passage there in verse 27, it says they ate, they drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now, a superficial reading of that would say, well, it don't sound bad. It just sounded like they were having fun. I mean, you know, that's what we do here. You know, we enjoy having the opportunity to see our children and our grandchildren get married and start families of their own. That's not what he was talking about. He was talking about them living in excesses, as it were. See, the most sacred relationship on earth is that of marriage. It says that they took wives. Now, wives is plural. Now, that means that they were in and out of marriage. That's not what God had to design in regard for marriage. So this is not a positive thing that he's saying that they were doing. You know, the teaching of God's word is designed to protect marriage. And you look at what's happening in our country today. Look at what's taking place in our society today. And some people would sit back and say, well, preacher, you're getting awful political today. Yes, I am. Because those who live a biblical worldview, it should affect their lives. It should affect everything that takes place. It should affect everything that you do. People have said before, well, do you propagate candidates? No, I don't tell people who to vote for, but I have said this. Vote Christian values. That's coming up this week if you hadn't already done it. Vote a biblical worldview. And then you won't have to answer to God as to why you did what you did. Yeah, you'll answer and he'll say, hey, you did your part. All these things, everything that is biblical, everything that is spiritual, everything that you and I know is under attack by the world today. And it is time that we did something about it. It is time that we become the outspoken Christian person or people that we need to be. This was an age of immorality. And I would be willing to guess that if I were to ask you and have a show of hands, you would say that the world today is more immoral than you have ever known it to be. You look at it and you've seen it going downhill. I thought to myself the other day, and the things that I was particularly thinking about my grandmother, who is with the Lord right now, who was born in 1903. She passed on just before she turned 100 years old. And I thought to myself, all the things that she saw in her life. One of the ways that I related that was I thought, 1903. You realize what 1903 was? That was the year Orville and Wilbur flew at Kitty Hawk. I mean, when my grandma was born, that was when flight was first starting to take place. But then I thought about the fact that before her life was over, how she got on a 737 and flew across the country to see my cousins. I can even think about my day and age. If you can think back 30 years, the world was a completely different place, wasn't it? We had respect for one another. We respected one another's opinions. Whether we agreed with them or not, we still respected them. And we loved one another. We had a respect for spirituality in the church. We had a respect for the church. Even heathen people that I knew who professed not to be saved had a respect for spiritual people. I don't see that today. What I see is even Christian people cutting each other off at the emotional knees. I see even Christian people ready to rip and tear and fight. And folks, let me tell you, that is where today's humanism has crept into the church. God never intended that for His children. He never intended that for His church. This should be the most loving place. This should be the most loving people on the face of the planet, rather than cutting each other down. What is it the Word told us? We talked about this last week. We are to edify. We are to uplift one another. Listen, that's why we come here. To be encouragers. To not follow the ways of the world. To not follow the immorality that is the U.S. in 2020 and as we go forward. Now, He also made, in these passages that we're looking at, another reference. Look with me down at verse 28, Luke 17, verse 28. He says, likewise, meaning the same, and he's talking about the days of Noah. He said, not only like the days in Noah, where there was immorality, where there was unspirituality. He says in verse 28, likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot. What does it say they did? Verse 28, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. Verse 29, but on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Now, if you go back and you look at the story of Sodom and you look at the story of Lot, you will see that God had had enough of Sodom. He had had enough of what was taking place. He had had enough of the immorality. If you remember in the story of Lot, Abraham even said, Lord, why are you going to destroy a whole city? Why are you going to do that? Now, I'm paraphrasing here, of course. But God said, because they have turned so far away from me. They have turned to the wickedness. And Abraham said, Lord, what if you could find 50 righteous people in the whole city? Would you destroy it then? God said, nope. Lot said, well, okay, then he thought, well, somebody that would say 50, well, what about 40? So, okay. He gets all the way down to just this very minuscule number. How about 10? Okay. What if I could just find one? God's like, all right. Lot wanted to stay in Sodom. Now, there's a completely different sermon altogether when it comes down to Lot and his wife and Sodom. But let me put it to you this way, folks. When you brush up so closely to sin, here's what we do. What we do is this. We want to get to the point where we want to get, we want to know where the border of sin is. And then what we want to do is we want to get our toes right up on the border, don't we? Well, Lord, I haven't crossed the line. I'm not technically sinning. Y'all know what I'm saying? Have you been there? Oh, at some point in your life. You know what my problem is? My toes might not be sinning, but my fingers are, because they're already across the line. See, we're trying to live this way. And the Lord says, by the way, God told us this. God told us that when we know what the line is, and we know because his word's given it to us, that we should stay so far back from the line. We need to have margin enough that even if we fall, even if our toes are here and we slip and stumble and we fall down, we're not going to fall across the border. We're going to fall where it's still safe. We don't like doing that. We like to get so close to the edge of sin. And you see, Lot liked Sodom. Lot didn't want to leave. Remember the story? You see, the Lord said, Lot, it's time for you to go, because I'm getting ready to pull the trigger of destruction on Sodom. And Lot still didn't go. And Lot had to send a messenger down there saying, you're going to go. Remember, it says that he sent an angel of the Lord down there to get Lot. And if you remember how bad Sodom had gotten, there were men who showed up there. And folks, it doesn't matter how you want to try to translate it. If you go back to the original, basically what it is saying is this. It is saying that the men of Sodom went to Lot's house asking that the angel of the Lord be brought out so that they might be able to have sex with them. That's real. The Lord protected them. The Lord got them back in the house. The Lord actually told Lot, it is time for you to go. And the angel physically had to grasp Lot and his wife and said, it is time for you to go, and don't look back. Don't look back. You can't keep looking back on sin that you've left. And he grabbed him and he took him out. Lot and his wife were on the way out. And we know the story from the time that we were in, preschool. The time that we've seen it. What happened to Lot's wife? Lot's wife looked back and what happened to her? She turned into a pillar of salt. Lot lost a lot that day because of his disobedience. And as they got to the city limits, God began to rain down fire and brimstone that destroyed Sodom. And by the way, there is geological evidence that this is exactly what took place. They've done excavations. They find the layer of burnt everything just like that. See, saying, not only will it be like the days of Noah, it'll also be like the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, verse 28, they bought, they sold, they planted. But the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Verse 30, even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Then he goes on, he talks about what's going to happen in that day. Verse 31, in that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house. Remember the goods, the things that we work so hard to acquire, the things that we work so hard to get, our stuff. I've always said that's a biblical term, stuff. Why is it that we work so hard to get stuff in this life? Stuff that's not going to make it to heaven. Stuff that's not going to help us out whatsoever. Now, am I against prosperity? No. Am I against prosperity theology? Yes. I think God gives us what we can handle. And I believe we need to be grateful for what God's given us instead of lusting after what somebody else has and coveting what somebody else has. He says, we get all this stuff and we start to protect it. Have you ever known somebody who is so protective of their stuff? I shared with you about my Chessie System coat when I was growing up. And I always have to share that story every chance I get. And I'm going to tell you why. Because it taught me a valuable lesson. I got this coat, boy, it was one of my favorites. It had that furry lining in it. It was like plush carpet back in the day, man. I was little. You know what I'm talking about? And I've said before that it had the hood that it zipped down the middle and it would lay over your back like a cape. How many of y'all had one of them? Nobody. I guess I was the only one. Nobody's going to admit it. Yeah, that was cool, man. It just laid over your back. And then when you needed it, you flipped it up, zipped it up, and you had a hood. It was furry and it was warm. And I loved that. And it had the Chessie system, the good Chessie system logo on it. Remember the one that had the little cat with his head on a pillow asleep and a little kitten? I loved that coat. And I would put it on, and it would feel so good. And that coat hung in the closet, the entry door closet. And every now and then, I'd go by, and I'd look at it. Every now and then, I'd put it on. And I'd get ready to, you know, go outside, and Mom would say, here, oh, put a coat on. She'd grab that coat, and I'm like, no, not that one. Because it might get dirty, or I might mess it up or something. And then one day, the unthinkable happened. The first unthinkable happened. I went in and looked at my coat, and I went to put it on, and it no longer fit. I couldn't get it zipped. And then I thought, wow, I never even wore this. I never wore it on a cold day. It never kept me warm. It never fulfilled its purpose or its design. And I was sad as I hung my coat back up, but I thought, I can still look at it. Until one day I saw my cousin wearing that jacket. And I was like, hey man, you got a coat like mine. He goes, no, it's not a coat like yours. It is your coat. What you got my coat on for? Well, your mother said that you couldn't wear it anymore, so she gave it to me. And I watched that coat get filthy dirty. I watched that coat get little picks in it. I watched him run through the woods. I watched all kinds of things happen to my coat. But you know, I had the wrong view of what it never accomplished what it was purchased for. When we look at this, why is it that we lay up so many treasures here on earth? We've got a pile of stuff. You know somebody who you're sitting there going, well, why don't you use that? Well, I can't do that. Well, I got this car sitting in the garage. It's been there for 50 years. It doesn't even have gas in it. But it looks good. Don't you ever drive, even to a show? No. Don't you use this? Listen, I guarantee you every one of y'all got some china or some silver that you won't eat off of. Because that's the pretty stuff. Well, what good's it doing you? It was designed to carry a big stack. Get it out. Use it. Remember Lot's wife, verse 32, verse 33. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. If we're too busy trying to worry about ourselves, the Lord, and not worry about things in a spiritual sense, folks, let me ask you today, where's your spiritual sense? It doesn't matter about your stuff. It doesn't matter about your home. It doesn't matter about your family. It doesn't matter about any of this stuff. If your walk with Jesus and your relationship with him is not right, you're going to lose everything. Just like that. You're going to be like Lot's wife. You're going to look back. Looking back because of favor for sin. The word tells us, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What is it that you're majoring on today in your life? I think about this situation. Folks, you do. I want to see the church become that place of love? Yes, I do. Do I want to see the church become that place of evangelism? Yes, I do. Do I want to see the church become that place of discipleship? Yes, I do. Do I want to see us get over ourselves and come back to him? Yes, I do. Saw a thing today that said, if your friendship depends upon who you vote for, then you need to find some better friends. We can still have discussions. We can still be able to agree to disagree, and we can still go to the wall for one another. And folks, the word tells us they will know we are Christians by our love. And I'll be honest with you. It is time for us to stop being lazy Christians.
I said it. It is time for us to find out what it is that God's given us the talents and the abilities to use. And let me promise you this, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you financially. It's going to cost you of your time. It's going to cost you of your effort. It's going to cost you of your energy. It is time for us to stop saying, well, I'm just going to leave it to somebody else and let them do it. That is not the way God intended it, period. It is time for us to get busy. Coronavirus or not, God didn't say, I'm giving you a hiatus. He didn't say it's time for you to lay down and not become the church. That's satanic right there. Now, am I telling you to do something goofy or stupid? Nope. But I'm telling you to do the things that God already told you before coronavirus and get busy with them. What is it that he's called you to do? What is it that he's called you away from? What is it that he said, this is not of me? See, I guarantee you that if we sit down and we begin to evaluate it, if we were a chart person and we sit there and we put the two ledgers side by side and we'd say, what are the things that we're doing that God has asked us to do and what are the things that we're doing that we want to do? I guarantee you the we want to is far longer than the what God is wanting us to do. In short, folks, it's time for us to get over ourselves. And it is time to become a part of the machine that God calls the church. Being the church is not a spectator event. It's a participator event. So I'm going to ask you a real hard question. Where are you participating as the family of God? Are you part of a discipleship group? We have those. Are you a part of the music ministry? We're struggling along, but you know why we're struggling along? Because we need you. We've got Awana ministry, and I'm so grateful for you guys for that. You've worn the mask, you've taken the temperatures, and you've been a blessing in the kids' hearts and lives. Thank you. Your staff can't do it alone. If we're going to be the great church God wants us to be, you've got to do your part. What is your part? Your part is what God has put in your heart and given you the talent and given you the ability to do. Was your heart blessed by our quintet? Boy, mine was. There's power in the blood. Now let me make you a promise. I could sit in that chair. And I can pick on JC. JC could sit in that chair. Yeah, I could pick on Tony. Tony could sit in that chair. I could pick on Rick. Rick could sit in that chair. And we could pick all those instruments up. And let me make you a promise. It will not be a blessing. Amen? B band at the high school might sound better. But in the right hands, when you put that horn in Jim's hand and Amy's hand, Kelly's hand, Jeff's hand, it makes beautiful, beautiful music, doesn't it? Somewhere in the ministry of the church is a chair for you. It might not be this one or this one. It might not be this one, but it might be that one or that one. Where is it? Find it and do it with all of your heart as unto the Lord. Yes, it's going to cost you time. Yes, it's going to cost you effort. Yes, it's going to cost you energy. Yes, it is going to cost you finances. What are you doing for the sake of the kingdom? Other than sitting back going, well, I just don't know about that. I just don't like that ministry over there. And I just don't like the way he or she's doing it. Well, step up and do it then. Come on. If you got a better way, let's do it. Come on. Let's do it. Because God says it's time for the church to be the church. Here's why. Because we don't have much time left. The trumpet could sound right now. And we will be called out of here. and we will stand and we will face the Lord. Verse 34 says, I tell you, in that night there will be two men in one bed, and the one will be taken and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together, the one will be taken, the other left. Two men will be in the field, the one will be taken and the other left. And they answered and said to him, where, Lord? So he said to them, wherever the body is, the eagle will gather together. Do you realize that? Now, I'm not a good math student, but yeah, what I just saw there was that 50% of the people probably aren't even ready to go. 50%. Why is that, preacher? Well, because the word says that not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. I always struggled with that verse growing up because I kept saying, well, you know, I preach it. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ. You can bow your head. You can ask him to come into your heart, which is true. But the real deal, what seals it is when you accept Christ, when you fall so in love with him that you desire to do his will, you desire to please him. So what happens is works follow salvation. You're not saved by works, but works follow salvation. And I want to work for him. He is the best boss I've ever had. And I love him and I want to do good for him. There's coming a day of evaluation, because if you trust him, you work for him too. What's your evaluation going to look like? Think about those passages. And as it was in the days of Noah, so will be also in the days of the Son of Man. Folks, those days are here. You don't have to be Jim Dobson with Focus on the Family. You don't have to be some great authoritarian. You can look around you, just like when you look outside and you see leaves on the ground. You're like, fall's here. When you feel the cooler temperatures, fall's here. You don't have to convince yourself of that. And the Lord's saying, here are the signs of the times. Israel's a nation. Everything's lining up just as it's supposed to be. But here's, you also need to understand, God is in control. I don't care what happens on November the 3rd. I've done my part, and no matter what happens, God is still in control. It did not take him by surprise, but to me, they're just simple signs of the times. Where are we personally? Where are we individually? Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Ironic what we can glaze over at times in the Word of God. The Lord talked about the days of Noah in Genesis 6, verses 11 and 12. He said, the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. It says it was violence. Do you see an increase in violence in our country? If you don't, you better wake up or you don't get out much. Increase in violence. Verse 12, so God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. I don't want to be like that. I want to be like Noah. I want to listen to what God says, whether it's ridicule or not. I want to be one of his children. I want to work for him. I don't care what everybody else says, because the last time I checked, I'm going to be with him far longer than I'm going to be with anybody down here. And I want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. An age of violence. You don't have to be a theologian to look around and see the signs of the times. It could happen at any moment. Anticipation does things for us and to us, doesn't it? Our quintet, you guys gonna play our invitation, right? Come on up. Y'all come on up, take your place if you would. Have you ever had that feeling that you get? You ever been somewhere, and I know we've kind of done this, the Halloween or the haunted house things and that sort of deal. And have you ever been in like one of those situations, you're going through one of them haunted houses where the hair's kind of standing up on the back of your neck? It's like you're anticipating something, or you know, you've heard something in the house at night, and you wives have sent your husbands to find it, and we're scared to death, although we're trying not to be. You've got the flashlight, the golf club, or the AR-15. And you're listening really quietly. You're walking around. You're on edge. And then all of a sudden, the cat jumps off the countertop or something, and you blow a hole in the sink. Or you cut down a lampstand with that golf club quicker than anything you've ever seen, and you're like, ah! You, that hair standing up on the back of your neck was telling you something. Something's getting ready to happen. Folks, let me tell you something. As your preacher, the hair's standing up on the back of my neck about the time that we have left. I believe we're that close. I really do. My question is, are you prepared for that time? First of all, have you trusted Jesus? I said a moment ago that it's simple because the Lord said this, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." When you bow your head and you close your eyes in with the sincerity in your heart, listen, it's not about me, it's about the Holy Spirit convicting you because He's the one seeking you. You don't even seek Him, He seeks you. But you feel it. Will you trust Him? Will you say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I know it today. And I'm a hell-bound sinner at this point. But Lord, forgive my sins. Come into my life. Save my soul." Listen, if you did that, I can make you a promise that He did, because His word tells us, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, since you have the Holy Spirit within you, it should drive what you do outwardly. Is it doing that? Is the Spirit in you, has it changed you? Is there conviction in your heart? Some of us today that are here, some of us today that are watching online, you are that prodigal son, and today you have awakened in the hog pen. And you don't like it. Good. Today you have thought about the pleasures, the joys, the provisions of your father and your father's house. And you want to come back home. Listen, today you can come back home. Today all you have to do is pick yourself up out of the hog pen and start heading for home. I've made this promise before because I can. The word tells us that when you do, the Father will be waiting. He will be watching. And when He sees you, He will run to put His arms around you, to welcome you home, not as a laborer, as a son, as a daughter. What joy there is of the return of the children of God. Do you need to return to Him today? Just say, "Lord Jesus, today I realize where I am. It's not where I need to be. Lord, I'm coming home. I anxiously await You. Help me, Lord. Restore me, Lord. Bring my joy back. Bring my service back. Bring my testimony back. As only You can. I love You, Father. In Jesus' name." Listen, if you did that, He's already running toward you. You took the first step, He will close the gap. Today are bad days. They are like the days of Noah. They are like the days of Lot. Which means that trumpet could sound any moment. Are you ready? Are you ready? Remember what we used to say when we play hide and seek? We would count to 100, 97, 98, 99, 100. Ready or not, here I come. You know what the Lord's saying? He's counting. We don't know what he's counting to. But very shortly, he's going to say, ready or not, here I come. Simply going to ask you as you bow your head and close your eyes wherever you are, if you're watching with us online, go to the Lord in an attitude of prayer as well for those that are around you. If things are right with you, pray for those that are around you. In that attitude of prayer, I'm going to ask you to do business with God for these next few moments as our quintet plays. You straighten it out with him. Amen. God is good. All the time. God really, really is good. Thank you so much for being here with us in the house of the Lord today to worship him in spirit and truth. Know today that the signs and the conditions are just right for him to blow that trumpet and call us out of here. I trust and pray that each and every one of us are ready as we walk out of this place. Don't forget Awana tonight, 6 o'clock. Right here. So far, it's been a real blessing to see the kids. I've been just tickled to death with how things have looked, how things have been going. They've done a great job at maintaining safety procedures. We wear our mask. We love the Lord. We're taking temperatures. We're doing all the good and right stuff to protect your children. So please trust us with them. Bring them on down. Let us have the opportunity to share the word of the Lord with them by those whose hearts are just set towards seeing children come to know Jesus Christ. Don't forget, for those on our leadership team, there is a 4 o'clock virtual leadership team meeting today. We look forward to seeing you there. Trust and pray that God's going to be blessing you. If you need a Operation Christmas Child box, there are some back here in our multipurpose building, some outside the office area, some in the sanctuary. If you're on our online community and you're in our area, you can drop by during the week, pick one of those up. Office hours are 9 to 2, Monday through Thursday. And we're going to have in-gathering coming up in the next couple of weeks. You'll probably hear a little bit more from Beverly about that and how that's going to work. So go ahead and already begin prayerfully to construct your box so that on in-gathering day, it'll be a true blessing that we offer a sacrifice for our Lord for some little child as we pray for them and create that box. We're looking forward to those opportunities. Also, continue to be faithful to your tithe and offering. I can't say enough about how you've done that throughout this time of the pandemic. If you're in our multi-purpose building, there is a box as you exit the door. You can drop that in there. If you're outside, I know you might be in the cars. I don't think there's people sitting in the grass in the rain today, but if you're in your car, there's a box out there. I believe it's right under the portico where you would come in the office area that you can drop that in. And if you're in our sanctuary watching by simulcast, you can put your offering in the plates down front. So we're so grateful and thankful for this opportunity that we've had to be able to spend these moments together. And we look forward for what God has in store, because God is not finished yet. Let's be part of his team, waiting for the trumpet to sound, being ready that when we stand in his presence, we will truly hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Are there any announcements that I've forgotten? I know we've got a little bit more going on these days than before. Thank you for our online community. Thank you for keeping Dr. Gant busy over there. If you have any questions, be sure to let him know. Again, if you're watching it on replay, we'll monitor throughout this week to see if we can answer any questions that you may have. All right, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we're dismissed today. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you so much that you have laid out the plan. It doesn't have to take us by surprise. But Lord, I pray that we will be diligent to be ready, that we will stand ready every second of every moment of every day for that trumpet to sound, for you to call us out to be with you. Lord, that we won't have to be standing in your midst saying, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have reconciled that. I wish I would have been better at this. Lord, let us do it as your word says, while it's still called today, because there is a time when night will fall and we will no longer be able to work for you. So Father, help us, knowing that salvation doesn't come by works, but yet works are proof of our salvation. Help us, Lord, to be the Christian you want us to be in our workplaces, in our homes, in our neighborhoods. Help us, Lord, to be the church you need us to be in our community and in our state and in our world. And Father, most of all, help us to be exactly in line with what you want us to be, that our hearts will be at peace with you. And Father, we will have worked until we have the time to rest in your presence. Bless us all. Give us a great day. Lord, bless our Awana tonight and the leaders. And we look so forward to what the future has to hold. May we be a difference in somebody else's life, for we ask it and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.